morning is United States against Montana. Ms. Gambino.
Good morning, Judge Easterbrook, Judge Wood, and Judge Robner.
Good morning.
The heart of the issue for Mr. Montano is once again the safety valve, and it comes before this case, before this court, in a bit different posture than the argument presented earlier. Mr. Montano was eligible for the safety valve, with all respect, with the exception of one, and that was that he had one prior conviction that was a drunk driving offense, which he incurred in 1997. And due to a series of continuances, both by his counsel and by the state, was not actually heard until 2001. This resulted in Mr. Montano receiving two extra criminal history points, placing him in a Category 2, and therefore making him ineligible for the safety valve. In the district court, Mr. Montano asked the court to consider that this Category 2 overrepresented his criminal history, that he belonged in a Category 1, and that with that departure, the court could consider the safety valve reduction.
But the district court not only did not agree with that, but it made two other important conclusions, which we can certainly consider. One of them was that it was really not open to him to look behind the exact reasons why it took as long for the state proceeding to be completed as it did, and I would add parenthetically that he's responsible for the things that his lawyer did. His lawyer is his agent, so he was in part responsible for this delay. So does one look behind exactly why something, you know, going into every motion and every prior criminal case is something that would really be a change in the calculation of criminal history? And number two, the judge, following actually what now is a rather large number of circuits, I believe took the position that he couldn't take a downward, he couldn't subtract points that were really there. The number of points was the number of points, because that would really do an end run around what Congress was trying to accomplish with the safety valve. So those are both important legal rulings that the judge made. One, don't look behind the timing of the state proceeding. Two, you can't manipulate points. One point means one point. It doesn't mean 3 points that I've decided to lop two off of.
I'll address them in the order that you present them, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. First of all, with respect to whether or not he could look behind the state court proceedings, that really, he really wouldn't have to look behind.
Well, in the sense of looking beyond the date of the judgment, he would have to look behind, wouldn't he? Because the date of the judgment determines the period of supervision.
Well, there are two dates that are commonly presented in the pre-sentence investigation report. One is the date of the offense, and the second is the date of conviction. But there's a larger issue here with respect to judicial discretion, and that is in keeping with one of the stated purposes of the guidelines, that similarly situated defendants be treated similarly, what you have, that there has to be some room, and it's our contention that the guidelines does provide some room for adjusting situations which produce an irrational difference between two different defendants based on the vagaries of what happens in the state court. And I think that the section of the guidelines which allows for departures upward or downward based on overrepresentation or underrepresentation of criminal history has that or includes that sense that what's going to happen in a state court is not always going to adequately reflect what has happened, or what happens in any other court is not always going to adequately reflect what's going on with a given individual.
But the problem with that is that may be true in general, but here we're looking at a very specific situation where Congress itself has specified a minimum sentence. Rightly or wrongly, but they can do that. They've specified a minimum sentence, and they have outlined the criteria for when one can avoid that other statutory specification. And whatever flexibility there may be to depart in other circumstances, haven't the rules been set out by Congress here?
Well,
Well, Your Honor, that depends on two different things. First of all, while it does say in the safety valve eligibility criteria that the person should have no more than one criminal history point, that if a person is the equivalent of a criminal history category one in view of a judge exercising his discretion based on a evaluation of what his criminal history actually is, then he can have, in theory, no more than one point. You cannot be in criminal history one without having zero or one point. So if you're the equivalent of that, then you could say, well, okay, technically, he's still got those 2 points out there, but what the judge has done in exercising discretion is saying, well, he shouldn't have those 2 points out there because that distinguishes him in a way based on an arbitrary happening in a state court process from someone in a similar situation for him. For instance, if there was another defendant along with
the... Well, I understand what you're saying. I mean, the third, fifth, eighth, ninth, and tenth circuits all think that district courts can't alter the criminal history points in a way designed to bring you under the safety valve. They're all wrong?
Your Honor, I would suggest that yes, they are wrong in the sense that they are excessively limiting judicial discretion to correct what otherwise is an irrational and unjust difference between similarly situated defendants. The difference in Mr. Montano's case, for instance, if he had a similar person with no other criminal history as he had, only a drunk driving offense, and they'd been convicted of this, or they'd been arrested at the same time, and his co-defendant or his counterpart had not had his prosecution delayed for whatever reason, he would have been eligible for a 3-year sentence as opposed to the 5-year that Mr. Montano received based on nothing else other than state court proceedings. And that's not a rational reason to find a defendant in the same situation should do more time than one who had his proceedings go more efficiently. And as this court knows, I'm sure, state court proceedings often do not run efficiently and for a whole variety of reasons that are outside the control of the defendant himself. So it takes away from both what Congress has also said about individualizing sentencing and about making sure that similarly situated defendants are treated similarly to say, well, you know, we're going to read this rule very narrowly so that it produces this irrational or, I would say, absurd result, that someone with the same background based on something out of his control is going to end up doing 2 years more prison time than someone who had the good fortune to have more efficient court personnel. So this is not a common situation. It does arise from time to time. And the guidelines have been set up to provide limited discretion to district court judges in order that they can rationalize the system when something peculiar like this happens. And the vehicle to do that would be through the use of the safety valve guideline, which is also something that's been approved of by Congress and which was intended for precisely the kind of people that Mr. Montana is, people who are first offenders, people who have no prior record of involvement in drugs, and who face excessive sentences based on the guidelines and the statute, who otherwise would not be in the situation that they're in. And so in this particular case, I would argue that the district court, in finding he had no discretion to depart, was not right, and that the court should take a less narrow reading than the Third and the Sixth Circuit have, for instance. And I note that with respect to your second question, the manipulation of the point, I think that you can interpret the 1 point to be the equivalent of the Category 1, since you cannot be in Category 1 without the 1 point. And I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time.
Fine. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Gambino.
Thank you.
Ms. Scott.
May I please the court? My name is Kayana Scott, and I'm here on behalf of the United States. As Judge Woods noted, the district court could not depart from the guideline range because the defendant had more than one criminal history point. And the guideline range is written that anyone who has more than one criminal history point is not eligible for the safety valve. The district court recognized its discretion.
Is this a matter of guideline ranges or of the statute?
It's a matter of the statute, Your Honor.
Right, this is 3553F1?
Yes. I'm sorry, it's 3550F1.
If it were only guidelines, then presumably the district judge could depart. But it's a mandatory minimum and a statutory exception to a statutory minimum.
Right.
Okay.
And the court could not depart below that statutory minimum of 5 years that the defendant received based on the fact that he had more than one criminal history point.
Well, yeah, I mean, to put it differently, the question would have to come, how can the district court read the statutory stipulation that it's 1 point in 3553F, meaning 1 point after I have departed from 3 points or 20 points or any number of other points? How do you get to that 1 point? Now, sometimes the guidelines itself sort of have a net offense level or net a point approach, and sometimes we have something that just takes a number as given, but we're interpreting the statute here. We have to figure out what that term 1 point means. Does it mean after the judge has considered departures and come up with the number, or does it mean 1 point as correctly calculated by the probation office?
Your Honor, it means the 1 point that was calculated by the probation office based on the defendant's criminal history.
Mm-hmm.
If there are no additional questions with respect to the first issue, I would ask that the court affirm the sentence. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Scott. Anything further, Ms. Gambino?
There is no statutory prohibition, nor is there any prohibition in the guidelines from interpreting the 1 point to be essentially the same thing as a criminal history category 1. And it seems to me that we're in a position of choosing a hyper-technical interpretation or an excessively narrow interpretation of statute and guidelines, and even in the face of...
Is there anything particularly hyper-technical in distinguishing the word 1 from the word 3? And the statute says no more than one criminal history point. And a judge who said, well, I've calculated the criminal history points, there are 3, I'm going to pretend that there are 1, might well be thought to be defying that statute.
It's not a matter of pretending that there are 1, Your Honor. If the judge finds that the appropriate criminal history category for this defendant is Category 1 and not Category
3... But we're not dealing with criminal history categories. That's the world of departure from the guidelines. We're dealing with a mandatory minimum sentence and the interpretation of a statute, not with departure. That's your problem. How can a judge say, when the statute says 1 point, that I'm going to treat 3 the same as 1?
Because 1 point necessarily means criminal history category 1. And if that's where he's appropriately placed, then he's essentially in the appropriate category for reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gambino. We appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment and your assistance.